Hi babes, it's me, Tia Coffey, and welcome to The Final Frontier, a brand new podcast. Now, I'm in the world of podcasts, I'm officially the Jessie Ware of drag. Let's get straight into it. So I want to talk about my love of sci-fi and where it all began. Because I feel like you wouldn't necessarily expect a drag queen to be such a geek and to be such a nerd. But I very much am. And I've kind of like celebrated it quite a lot. I mean, I call myself the glamorous geek for a reason. And I think it's because I've always been into sort of like nerdy sci-fi things from a very young age. Probably mostly because of my dad, because he's always had a love for all of these things. I remember him having like VHS tapes of like super nerdy, super sci-fi stuff and me sort of thinking, oh, that's like so geeky. Like my dad should be doing cool stuff, but he's not. But obviously I was like super entertained by it all. And like that whole process has like fed into what I do now. Like I celebrate all of my geekiness in my drag, giving you a little sort of like, I guess, Frankenfurter-inspired moment right now, because I feel like Rocky Horror is still, like, counts as, like, a sci-fi fantasy moment, right? But, yeah, like, all of that geekiness has, like, really fed into my drag, and I feel like a lot of people don't do that, like, don't bring that into the art of drag, which I find bizarre, because, like, there are a lot of, like, secret nerdy people out there, like, drag queens that you wouldn't expect to be super nerdy. I won't mention any names, a horror, but like some people like have a secret love of all of that kind of stuff. So I've like celebrated it so much in my drag and like done so many looks that are like super inspired by like geeky sci-fi moments, which I guess people don't like expect, like a huge number of Doctor Who looks. I'm a massive Doctor Who fan and like always have been since before the revival as well. So like my dad like loved Doctor Who, and he always used to tell me about how like scared he was when the Daleks first appeared and how it was like really like hide behind the sofa kind of TV moments and stuff like that. And I was like, ew, nerd, like of course it's not, but like I wanted to watch it. So I think we found some like VHS tapes of some classic Doctor Who when I was like super young, and that's kind of where it all began, which is like super bizarre to think back on now. But that's definitely where my sort of like love for sci-fi started. And then like fast forward to 2005 and like they announced Doctor Who's coming back. And honestly, I've never been so excited for anything in my life. Like finally I was going to get to watch it on TV and have that kind of episodic experience of like waiting for what the villain of the week was going to be, what the monster of the week was going to be, and like enjoy like a whole new range of doctors for myself, which started with Christopher Eccleston. Although we do have to give like a shout out to Paul McGann, that like made for TV movie. Do you know the made for TV movie? Do you know the made for TV movie? Some people feel like it was a bit of a travesty because it was made by the Americans on a British institution, but I quite like it. Like secretly, I do quite like it. Even the questionable TV movie, the weird like love relationship with the companion, the weird revelation that the doctor was half human that no one talks about anymore. I feel like that needs to be addressed again. Is the doctor half human or is he not? Are they not? Interesting. But it's not just Doctor Who. Like I've got a massive passion for all things sci-fi, all things geeky. Like Star Trek is like a massive thing for me. Like back in the day, watching all the classic sort of like Star Trek moments and enjoying them, because like that is a show that was fully created to show everyone, to show the entire human race what a possible future could look like. And of course they had their like dramas, like getting into space battles and what have you. But like you look at the crew in the original sort of like classic Star Trek on board the bridge on the Enterprise is like an incredibly diverse group of people, which for that period of time was pretty much unheard of. Like literally like the diversity in terms of like race and like gender on the bridge was wild and something that people didn't necessarily expect. And I think like one thing that like was pretty iconic for me as someone who is biracial, like my mum was black, my dad's white, was Star Trek was responsible. I feel like everyone knows this fact. I don't know why I'm bringing it up. But Star Trek had the first like interracial kiss on American television. And I feel like that kind of like representation of diversity and inclusion straight off the bat probably drew me in pretty strong. And like you can imagine being like a 7-year-old who's watching like old sort of old school classic Star Trek wasn't like the coolest thing that I could have been doing in the playground. But I mean, I loved it. And it like carries on to this day. Like even with the sort of like new series like Discovery and like Michael Burnham being like the main character, that's another opportunity for me to see myself reflected in that way in terms of like race and stuff like that. So I feel like sci-fi is like kind of like when it comes to television, the epitome of like representation and diversity, which is very important to me. So straight off the bat, when I started drag, I wanted to integrate my sort of geekiness and my sense of humor and like my love of sci-fi into it. So I remember for some reason, like Tia, when she started, was Vulcan. Like I just decided I was like giving Spock energy on stage and just decided that Tia was a Vulcan. And I'd always introduce myself as such, which is kind of like a ridiculous thing to do when you think about like how people picture drag now, very much like off the back of RuPaul's Drag Race. Like people think of it as like glamour and like serving like beauty, face, like couture, high fashion. And I was there in like a Primark miniskirt being like, yeah, I'm a Vulcan. Like my dad works on the Starship Enterprise. Like that was my sense of humor and my like engagement with the audience, which worked because the thing that I didn't necessarily realize about the queer community is we're kind of like a big bunch of geeks. Like so many gamers, so many sci-fi fans, so many sci-fi fans, so many sci-fi fans, so many gamers, like so many people who go to like conventions and stuff for drag. Like I did a panel once at Comic-Con and it was like wildly well attended, which I wasn't expecting because I was like, nah, well, I'm not Tom Holland. I wasn't in Spider-Man. But twist, like the sort of like queer sci-fi fans also appreciate drag, particularly those who encompass a level of cosplay into their aesthetic, which is something that I love to do. If you want to hop over to my Instagram, you'll see me dressed as various doctors from Doctor Who. Also, a Cyberman, also kind of a Dalek look, also many other sci-fi references and everything. Gosh, I am just a nerd, aren't I? I feel like I should be embarrassed, but I'm not. If you think it's embarrassing, that's your problem. If you find that embarrassing, go and listen to Jesse Ware's podcast. Too far? too much? Listen, she shouldn't have eliminated me on Drag Race if she didn't want me to bring that up. Jesse, if you're listening, we've got a vendetta. Anywho, enough about me. We're going to get on to your questions right after this. So I put a shout out for sci-fi related questions on my Instagram, and I have an unbelievable quantity of questions. I literally cannot go through all of them, which is wild, but I'm going to answer a few and see how we feel. Tess Drive UK. Hello, Tess. Tess asks, would you rather pilot the Starship Enterprise or the Millennium Falcon? That's a big question. I do have a driving license, so I can drive a manual car, which is probably not the same as a big spaceship. I think I'd probably rather go for the Starship Enterprise because you've got a whole bridge team there. So if I like lack confidence in my ability to fly through a meteor shower or something, you've got a whole team. You've got a whole squad of people who are on your side, ready to like chip in. Whereas on the Millennium Falcon, you've literally got Chewbacca and it's you. Unless you're saying that I would be Chewbacca, in which case that's a read and I don't appreciate it. Oyster Travel Card, what a ridiculous Instagram handle. Oyster Travel Card asks, favorite doctor? It's a big question. I feel like I have like a debate about this constantly because I just really like Doctor Who. okay, full disclosure, full tea. I always say my favorite Doctor is Matt Smith because I loved his energy, but I feel like the real reason that I say Matt Smith is because I loved Amy Pond so much. And then I don't want to be like obvious because everyone says their favorite Doctor is David Tennant. Like literally ask any Doctor Who fan and their answer will be like, my favorites are David Tennant and Catherine Tate. And because I'm a quirky girl, I try and avoid like saying the same answer as everyone. So that's why I never say David Tennant. So I feel like my favorite Doctor is me when I finally get the call to play the Doctor in Doctor Who. Although actually I feel like I'd be a more, this isn't the question you asked. I feel like I'd be a more iconic villain. I kind of want to be the Master. Imagine like Shuti Gatwa as the Doctor, me as the Master. The iconic queer campery of it all would be great. Didn't answer your question. Probably Matt Smith. There we go. Charcuterie asks, lightsaber colour. By the way, Charcuterie, great drag name. Lightsaber colour. What would my lightsaber colour be? I mean, from existing ones, I feel like I'd have to go for the purple. Because that is a lightsaber colour that only arose. There we go. Grammar. That only arose from Samuel L. Jackson taking the decision to want to have like a quirky lightsaber. So Samuel was like, hey, I don't want the same colour as everyone else. When we're doing these big battle scenes, I just want my own lightsaber so everyone knows which one I am. And I'm like, do you know what? Slay Samuel L. Jackson's ego. And the purple one is quirky and it looks good. Yeah, I would go for a purple one. Maybe like a camp little orange one just to mix things up. Why not? Orange and purple is my favourite colour combination. Again, not the question, but I answered it. Lauren Winterbottom asked, have you watched The Thing 1982 because it's great? No, I haven't. Maybe I will. Sorry, Lossa. The Only Latex asks, best and worst sci-fi movies of all time. That is such a huge and expansive question. What is my favourite sci-fi movie of all time? I honestly might have to have a think about that because it's just like a hugely vast quantity of things. And also, I have to like make a huge confession at this point. I'm very much more a consumer of television than movies, because if I'm honest, I've got a bit of a sketchy attention span. So like a little cheeky, like half hour, 45 minutes, I can do. And will I binge view? Yes, I will. So actually, if I'm watching TV shows, I'll end up watching about 5 hours when I could have just watched an hour and a half, 2 hours of a movie. Or as we say in the UK, film. But I just always like I'm a TV person over movies, but I'm going to think about that because I feel like I need to like dig into the depths. And also sometimes I'm not answering a single one of these questions. I'm just going off on tangents and you're welcome. Sometimes I have like questions in my mind about like, is this movie like sci-fi, fantasy, like defining the genres sometimes aren't clear. Like some films fall into the lovely center part of a Venn diagram between sci-fi and fantasy. So it's sometimes difficult to like delineate between the two. And I don't want the geeky listeners of this very pod to cancel me for confusing sci-fi movies and fantasy movies. Tom Wolves 91 asks, what was the scientific reason I walked past you yesterday and said hi? Tom, it was weird. I was on my way back from the co-op. I actually remember that moment very clearly. But love you. Thanks for saying hi. Sheps the Scoundrel asks, what's your favourite Doctor Who alien slash creature? A lovely question because there are so many to choose from. I think my favourite from a perspective of like lore and story is probably the Ood because they look very interesting. They're very visually striking and they've got like a very different sort of character design to a lot of like monsters you might have seen previously. And also, I love the bit with Catherine Tate's Doctor where she acknowledges that the Ood are born with their brain in their hands, which means that they, like, have to be trusting and they have to be, like, really vulnerable, which is why they've basically become enslaved because, like, they have to trust the people who are sort of, like, caring for them and looking after them because they're, like, inherently vulnerable creatures. So, like, I really like that because it gave, like, a new level of, like, the lore of the Ood. And they are just, like, peaceful and wonderful and gorgeous and also very competent at choral music, thanks to Murray Gold. Most of these are about Doctor Who, which, honestly, fair, because how much Doctor Who drag have I done in my time? Loads. What's my favourite episode of Doctor Who? Great question. I think, straight off the bat, probably my favourite episode of Doctor Who is Midnight, which is like a David Tennant, Catherine Tate episode, but Catherine Tate is not in the episode that much. It all takes place in this one sort of vehicle as the Doctor goes on a trip traversing the planet Midnight. And it's just like a, it's like almost a bit of a thriller. Like, you don't really know what's happening. It's very exciting. Nothing is, like, necessarily explained at the end. People are just like, I think the Doctor's just like, oh yeah, like, no idea what that life form was, but, like, work, slay diva. We dealt with it. And also the sacrifice at the end. Like, I think Midnight is the episode of Doctor Who where it is guaranteed that I'll cry because the hostess on the tour reminds me so much of my mum. So, spoiler, when she sacrifices herself at the end for the good of everyone on the trip, I'm like, oh my God, mum, that's so sad, but thanks. And also, isn't the boy in it also in Merlin? I think literally is Merlin, yes. These are like not sci-fi questions. Someone's just said, I'm from Brazil and I'm rooting for you. Okay, work, thank you. That's very kind. I'm really trying not to just ask Doctor Who questions, but they're all Doctor Who related. Claudio DeMick, 99. If you had the chance to travel on the TARDIS, when and where would you like to go? I think I'd like to go into the future just to, like, make sure we haven't, like, fully ruined the Earth and caused chaos. Like, I kind of want to know where we're going, because I think that's quite exciting. Like, the historical aspects do enthrall me somewhat, but I can read about those. Like, if I want to know about Henry VIII, I can go and watch Six the Musical, which is, like, predominantly historically accurate, sort of. But it's really fun. But, like, I feel like the future's, like, way more exciting because I want to know where we're heading. Also, like, I feel like I'm a bit limited on where in the past I can go because, like, racism. So, I don't know. I'll definitely go to the future and hope that we live in a better world that's more inclusive. Like, the hopefulness that Gene Roddenberry brought to Star Trek, I hope, exists in the actual true life future. And I want to go and explore that and make sure that happens. Sarah Lynham asks, what show would you recommend to someone who has never watched sci-fi? That is a tough one, but I think I'm going to go for Quantum Leap. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's everywhere at the moment. People are talking about it, but I'm not talking about this new one. Like, you can get into that after you've gone all the way back and watched the classic noughties Quantum Leap. Is it noughties? Is it 90s? It's from the past. That's all I know. That was, like, a very specific time and a very specific era, I feel, in, like, the sci-fi genre where you had a sort of, like, self-contained story, like, within each episode. And it just feels, like, so nostalgic for me personally. Like, so nostalgic watching, like, the old school Quantum Leap. And, like, yes, like, get into the new one. Get into it. We love. But it's the classic one for me. Like, you've got to watch the whole of, like, classic Quantum Leap and then get into, like, the new one. It's, like, different vibes. Do you know what I mean? I do love both, but classic. Mithu7 says, which Star Trek ship had the best captain? Why did you both just dab? Like, this is staying in. Kidding, I'm not in the room by myself. Why did you both just dab? Like...
No, I wrote dabs.
You wrote dabs. And then you dabbed. I just for the record want all of this included in the actual final thing because, you know, this is why we need to educate people about sci-fi because, like, you know, the people who are actually behind the camera slash the audio equipment at this moment in time are just sat there going, this nerd in a wig is so boring. And I'm going, no, no, listen. No, I feel like it's important that people sort of, like, get into it. We're, like, hopeful for the future of humanity. Alex Fincher World asks, I'm going to say shag. That's not the word that you used, Alex. Shag, marry, kill, Darth Vader, Spock, and a Dalek. Well, Spock's got a logical mind, and I'm a little bit chaotic at times, so I feel like I can massively benefit from that. So I'm going to marry Dr. Spock. Mr. Spock, actually. I'm going to marry Spock. Kill, now that's a hard one, because Darth Vader and Daleks are both bad and like hell-bent on taking over the universe. I'm going to kill the Dalek because they are just sort of like squiggly piles of like something in a metal container, and I would feel wrong doing that. And I guess I'm going to shag Darth Vader. And since he is Luke's father, I will call him Daddy while we do so. Daddy Vader. This is not where I thought this was going to go today, but it is where it's gone. Fern Gallagher asks, have you watched Stranger Things? Fern, I'm not going to lie. I watched the first two seasons of Stranger Things, then I didn't, and then I just watched the last episode because I wanted to know what happened. So I don't really know what happened in the interim. Yeah, what happened between me watching Stranger Things and not watching it? Millie Bobby Brown became a questionable meme. The internet really bullied that poor teenager. She seems nice, though. But I will say, have you seen the video of Millie Bobby Brown where she's like, oh my God, I love this cleanser. Like, it's my favorite, so I'm going to apply the cleanser. And Mama, she put nothing on her hands. She rubbed nothing on her face. Why is she lying to the people? Conspiracy. Millie Bobby Brown is actually 11 and has to mime these things because she has secret powers and she didn't want her nose to bleed from applying cleanser too vigorously. Perry O'Brie asks, do I believe in aliens? Great question, Perry O'Brie 123. Saying it out loud, it rhymes. Good for you. Do I believe in aliens? Right. So, like, the part of my brain that is, like, grounded and sensible is, like, you kind of have to, because the universe is literally expansive, like, almost infinite. So, like, there must be... It would be, like, arrogant for us to assume we're the only intelligent life in the whole universe. But then, like, the other part of me is, like, no, like, Slay, I kind of want to believe that we're, like, the only ones here. But then it'd be a bit like shouting into a void, and... I don't know, maybe there being, like, more intelligent life in the universe gives, like, more purpose and more meaning. Or maybe it gives less. We're getting philosophical, which is kind of the point of sci-fi. Makes you reflect on yourself. This is a good one. The Barry Poppins asks, Buffy or X-Files? Buffy Summers or Fox Mulder and Dana Scully? Citation needed. I actually grew up watching the X-Files with my dad, which actually, on reflection, is like quite irresponsible parenting for me to be watching scary X-Files at such a young age. But I'm going to have to go for Buffy. Like, I'm a huge Buffy fan. I believe in Buffy Summer's supremacy. I believe that Faith is an icon. I believe that the way they wrapped everything up at the end, where it was like every potential Slayer has the power now to be a Slayer, it's iconic because, like, Buffy was all about the feminism and, like, sort of, like, turning around and saying, like, all of these, like, women who might have aspired to this thing now can and have achieved that thing. It's just a really beautiful way to, like, end the whole thing. Now, the subsequent realization that the creator was problematic, that's really sad. And that makes me struggle a little bit, but I don't want to undo all the hard work that that, like, iconic cast of actors and everyone else who was, like, amazing who worked on that show created. But, you know, we can still appreciate what we learned and took from something, even if we realise that the person who was in charge of it is a little bit, you know. Laura in the TARDIS, great name. Laura in the TARDIS asks, if you could travel with any doctor... Wait, you've asked if you could travel with any Doctor Who doctor. Oh, I see, any doctor from Doctor Who, because you knew that if you just said, if I could travel with any doctor, I'd be like, Dr. Zhivago. You're smart. You know me. You get me as a person. You know I'm pedantic. If you could travel with any Doctor Who doctor, who would it be? Doctor Who, Doctor Who. Fun. If I could travel with any of the doctors from Doctor Who would it be? Now, I have said that Matt Smith is potentially my favourite Doctor. But would I go for, Peter Capaldi's Doctor really brings, the life lessons. But then Jodie Whittaker has, a youthful charm and quality to her. And she really needs a companion because, whenever she goes back in time, Yaz always, susses something out. And I want to be like, yeah, I helped. I helped save the universe. That's quite fierce. But then, other Doctors, companions, Billy Piper was, straight up absorbing the time vortex and having magical, powers for a little bit, which is quite fierce. Maybe I want that. No. If I was Rose and I was travelling with Christopher Eccleston and he sent me back, I'd have been do you know what? That's when the world ends. At least I'm in the past. Good for her. But I feel like I've got peak Martha energy as well because I'd have, walked that earth and been I'm going to save it from this. Very biblical in the way that finale story was told. David Tennant probably had the most time. So, that'd be fun because he knew what was up. But, maybe I want to go for the unknown and go for Shusi. Oh, my God, there's also, all the classic Doctors. Not me, forgetting, all of classic Who. Maybe Paul McGann, because we only know, one story from Paul McGann and I could be the companion to fulfil that. Although, I am giving, big, big finish audio drama erasure right there. I really can't answer it. I'm sorry. William Hartnell, maybe, because, classic. And then I could talk in one of those, really posh... Yeah. Okay, controversial yet brave, because we know that first Doctor had some problematic moments looking back. I think I'd go for William Hartnell, because I'd be like, girl, you got to educate yourself. Don't be talking to women like that. And then also, I get to talk in one of those plummy old-timey voices. And I've always wanted to shout no, Doctor, you simply can't. One of those classic my goodness, I'm trapped in a well in the Daleks. Please save me. And that's how I talk with the first Doctor. If I was that Doctor's companion. Gonna pop that on a showreel. That was pretty good. We've just got time. I'm looking straight down the lens, right into your eyes, and telling you that we've just got time for one more question, and it is another Doctor Who question from Stradahuvius. Great name, I guess, combining a love of Doctor Who and violin construction, maybe, I guess. Any personal theories on what caused the bi-generation in Doctor Who? Yes, I do. Right. Here's the thing. Bi-generation, they addressed, was just a rumour. Nothing seen before, just a question prior to the actual bi-generation that we saw on screen. Here's what I think had happened and why the Doctor bi-generated. We're in the Toymakers universe, a universe of games, ruled by the rules of games and fun and playtime. So we're already having a bit of a wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey moment. The regular rules of our universe do not apply at this moment in time. Now let's address something that was said by the Doctor to the Toymaker, and it was this. It was best of three. The Doctor said best of three, which means they got to play a third game, and that was the chance to protect the universe. That was their opportunity to protect the whole of Earth, the whole of the universe, whatever was going on, whatever the Toymaker's plan was. I feel like the Toymaker took that, it's a rule. We're now doing best of threes, so everything happens in threes now in this Toymaker's rule of play, this Toymaker's world, this Toymaker's universe, where he rules Wagwan in this situation. So of course, when he struck the Doctor down, Mama, best of three, a third person had to be brought in, but it was only between the Doctor and the Toymaker. So the third person had to be another Doctor or another Toymaker. I think it makes perfect sense. So the Doctor bi-generated to create a third player in this game because of the best of three rule that had been established as one of the rules of play in this Toymaker's universe. And that's why David Tennant's Doctor remained and Shuti Gatwa bi-generated out of him. And also we can't complain because we got to see Shuti Gatwa in his pants. Anyway, that is all the time that we've got for you. Do you get it? Time and space, Doctor Who. That's all the time we've got for you today. But I'm so excited to go on this podcast journey with you through all the universe, all of time and space. And next week, it won't just be me. We're going to have a very exciting guest for you. So make sure you join us again next week. Press all the buttons. I don't know what they are, like subscribing, all of that kind of thing. And I'll see you then.